I don't remember if it was in November or December, the Lord just began to slowly sow the seeds of this word in John 21 into me, and it became this beautiful portrait. I explained this morning, have you ever looked at a picture that is just beautiful, but the more you look at it, you start noticing small details, and the more you notice details, the more you notice little details, and that is what has been happening in my spirit. And in this, and in this passage of scripture, I begin to just see Christ and who he is, which is the outcome of every time we approach the text. Somebody say amen. And then I begin to see this figure named Peter that slowly began to look like the way I would see myself. Yet in the story, in the text, I've said it before, that sometimes when we get ourselves into the Bible, we get the Bible into back. Once we get into the Bible, we get the Bible into us, and then we find ourselves in it as we read it, and I become Peter. And the Lord has just been showing me things. I'm going to be slow today. It's going to be teachy, but it is going to be so powerful and beautiful. God is doing a beautiful thing, not just here, but he's doing it in us, and it is happening right now. It's happening right now. It's been happening, but this is authentic and unique, and it started a few weeks ago. I'm going to go ahead and read these 17 verses. I know I've read them the last few weeks, but I'm going to read them again. I don't think you can read it too much. And my prayer is that God does such a revelatory word in this that for the rest of our days, we'll always be marked or impacted by what the Lord has done here, that it would forever bring forth fruit. Now, I want you to, as I read it, not just listen to words out of a book. I want you to imagine with whatever imagination you got the setting here, and try to picture this as you hear this, okay? Because we'll be coming back and forth from John 21 to maybe John 6 to maybe Matthew 14. We're going to jump around a little bit today, but we'll always come back. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself. Somebody say showed himself. This is so important. Some of your Bible says revealed himself or manifested himself. I believe this is one of the themes in this single chapter, because the word manifest is mentioned three times. So when you see the writer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit begin to say the same thing over and over, then you and I know that we are supposed to pay attention to that and to understand what we are reading based off what is being repetitively said in the text. So it starts right out the gate. It sets the tone in John 21 that after these things, Jesus manifested himself, showed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is also the Sea of Galilee, which is also Lake Gennesaret. It's also the Sea of Chinnereth. So depending on the town that was around Galilee, Tiberias was a little town by the sea. So there they called it the Sea of Tiberias. That's a Roman term, right? And so it depended on what part around the Sea of Galilee that you lived or what little town would determine what you might call it. And that's not much different than the way people make references to roads and places around here. Depending on where you grew up, your culture, what you might call it. So the Sea of Tiberias is also the Sea of Galilee. Actually, John says that in one verse, it says the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. He says it's interchangeable. And on this wise, now look, this is everything will flow from the last part of this verse. One, on this wise, somebody's Bible says in this way or in this manner, he revealed himself. So John 21 is about Jesus revealing himself. But not just about Jesus revealing himself, but the very special and specific way in which he reveals himself. John 21:1. After these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and in this way, he showed himself a specific way. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth. They entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They said no, because they had caught nothing. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast their own, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, being John, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea of Galilee. And the other disciples came in little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread, fish, bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, he drew the net to land, full of great fish, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Let me stop right there again and remind you. John makes it clear, this was the third time that Jesus revealed himself, 21 verse 1, showed himself to the disciples after he resurrected. The first two times is John 20. The first time they're in an upper room, they're scared of the Jews. Jesus comes in, he says, Peace be unto you. He breathes the Spirit on them. Somebody say, Wow. A spiritual encounter that was essential, and it was necessary, and it was powerful. But make this note, it did not change them, not fully. So in John 20, the second time, they are still in the same room that they enclosed themselves in out of fear. Jesus comes back again. Thomas is there. This is where he says, Look at my hands. There's holes in them. Look at my side. The hole is there. Feel, touch, see. I have resurrected. Jesus in another gospel also addresses their unbelief, okay? Revelation manifestation 2 did not give them breakthrough. And this is the third. Let me say again, the first sin is very spiritual. The second one is this evidence of proof. And the third one is altogether different. Now, I have said before, I'll say it again. The problems that Peter has are the same that Stetton has. I'll mention it again in a little bit, but let me just remind you. Peter was inconsistent. Somebody say inconsistent. How many have struggled in your walk with God and your walk has been inconsistent? There's breakthrough. Peter had empty declarations. I'll never leave you. But he does. Right? Empty professions. I have had empty. God, forgive me. I'll never do this again. Am I the only one? God, I'll love you. I'll serve you. For a little while. Peter's also slow to recognize. This is in the Gospels. John's always quick to recognize. Peter's slow to recognize, but Peter's the first one to do something. Peter is irrational in his feelings. So they run to the tomb, right? John outruns him, but he stops. Peter goes all the way in, but the Bible says, and John believed. It don't say Peter. They're on the water. Jesus, they think he's a ghost. John says to Peter, that's the Lord. Peter's slow to recognize, but who wants to get out and walk on water? Peter. So slow to recognize, but irrational. I wonder if there are any people in the house that is slow to recognize God and His goodness, but quick to act irrationally. Think about that. Feelings. Feelings are real, but they're not true many times. I'll say it again. Feelings are 100% real, but many times they are not true. We are rational. Okay, this is Peter. I see myself that way, right? Now, let me say this again. He breathes on the Holy Spirit, but that wasn't Peter's breakthrough. They see proof, but that wouldn't break through. Now let me go back. Let me explain this the way I have experienced this in my life. I have been in Pentecostal meetings, and the Spirit moved, and it was good. Do not take this wrong. It was good. The presence of God was real. It helped me. It did something to me. But weeks later, I had already reverted. The breath was not necessarily everlasting. Powerful of God, yes. Helped me, yes. But and we know this in church. There's a people that they have to come, keep coming back, just to get a touch, just to get another touch. And when they get a touch, they're good, and they begin to go downhill, so they got to go. And there's people that will look for the next charismatic service just to get one more touch, one more breath of God, a little bit more fresh oil, just so they can get back going. And when they go back down, they got to go find the next revival just to get enough. And they will seek out prophets. They will seek out revivals. They'll seek out movements because they need one more breath breathed on them, one more touch. Are you with me? And then there are some, and I'm this guy too, that says, Lord, if I could see the miracle, if I could see you do the impossible, if I could behold just something, Lord. I can remember standing outside saying, God, if you would just let me see you in the heavens. Let me see. I know I can't see all your glory. Just let me see something that is miraculous. And God, I'm there. That will seal me and I will be steadfast. Pharisees was like that. Is anybody else in here that's ever been like that? Amen. Well, you know what? Peter got that too. He put his finger. They saw the holes. They seen the hole. And you know what? He's still in the room struggling with his unbelief. Third manifestation. In this manner, Jesus manifested himself the third time. Not that the first time wasn't good, not that the second time wasn't good, but Jesus knew what Peter did not know, that it took the first time, and it took the specific first time, the way he did it the first time, it took the way he did it the second time, and it would take the way he did it the third time, all summed up to give him the breakthrough. What is the third manifestation? I'll stop reading there and just tell you what happens from here. Jesus says, come and dine. Peter comes up on the shore. He's already got breakfast made for them. They eat. Jesus don't say a whole lot. And then he looks over at Peter and says, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you love me? What do you think this manifestation and this setting is about? Is it not clear that it is about love and a relationship, Jesus and Peter's relationship? Peter just denied that he knew Jesus. Jesus has fixed him breakfast, called him over to the shore, and now he's talking, do you love me? And then he says things like, feed my sheep. This is so intimate and relational between Jesus and Peter. Are you with me? The third manifestation, in this manner, he manifested himself. That is what this series has been. This is part three. Now, let me go back and say something that C.S. was so prophetic and you didn't even know it. Lord, have mercy. Okay. There are times that me and a friend can drive by somewhere or be somewhere. And we may only go there every now and then, but every time we go there, We both look at each other and say, do you remember when? Remember when this happened? Or you remember when we did that? You remember when we experienced this? And a lot of times it ain't good stuff. Oh, Trey, there's an old building down in Florida somewhere that every time we'd go by, you remember. You know what I mean? There's things that we experience. There's moments in life where we have such an experience that it leaves an impact that years later, when you revisit the scene, immediately, whether it is 1 year, 10 years, or 90 years, you go back. Sometimes it's not just a place. Sometimes it's a sound. Sometimes it's a smell. One of your senses will pick up on something in the present, and it will take you back in your nostalgia to a place where something profound happened. Now, Jessica, could you say it again about the song? The song we played, when you heard it, you went back to singing it. That's prophetic, because that is the thread of understanding from this text, and that is what she spoke right before it. This is what is going on in the life of Peter. Do you remember this? They come out of the room when they break bread and have wine, and Jesus says, this is my body that's broken for you. This is my blood that's shed for you. And then they leave there, and he goes on to have the conversation. And you know what, Peter? You're going to deny. He says, the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep will scatter. Peter, you're going to deny that. Peter said, I will die for you. I will die for you. He says, no, you'll deny me. It's what you'll do. You'll deny me. It's what you'll do. And in those texts, two different times, it says, and I will see you in Galilee. We saw this the first sermon. I will see you in Galilee. First manifestation, they're in Galilee. Second one, here's the third one. But this time, they are no longer in a room. They're going fishing. I still wonder why Peter is wanting to go catch fish after that the Son of God, the risen Son of God, has breathed the Holy Ghost on him and let him feel the holes in his hands and in his side. Why is he wanting to go fishing? Not that fishing's bad. It ain't bad to go. But I don't understand why he ain't having revival. I don't understand why he ain't preaching it in Jerusalem. I don't understand why he'd be scared of Jews when he just saw this Jew named Jesus that has overcome death. I don't understand, but I can't be hard on him because I myself am guilty. Are you with me? Okay. So now they're John 21. Peter goes fishing on the Sea of Galilee after he has denied Christ and Jesus has rose again. In this manner, he revealed, in this special way, he revealed himself. Peter just thought he was going fishing. Jesus was setting it up the whole time. How did Jesus know? How did he know to fix breakfast? They didn't know Jesus was going to be there. They didn't even know him when they saw him. But yet Jesus already got breakfast cooked. How did he know? Well, he's God. That's how he know, right? Peter didn't know. Jesus knew. Just like I told you the first message that I was going to try to reenact mine and Brandy's first date at the Melting Pot, and then I found out it was closed down. Right? Jesus is doing something here. Hey, would you give me my first slide here? It says clues. We're not going to spend much time on this, but I want you to see it. There are clues. In John 21, when I read John 21 as the reader, or when Peter is living it in John 21, there are shepherd language in John 21. Feed my sheep, right? Shepherd language. There's bread and fish. Jesus feeds them bread and fish. There's the Galilee Sea miracle. This is a miracle in John 21 when he catches the fish. Galilee Sea miracle. There's manifest timing. I won't explain it now, but I will in a minute. This is manifest timing, and this is absolutely beautiful. There is drawing nets, and this is going to blow your mind too when we get there, all right? And then there's the audience. And so there are these clues that in John, when I see these these things in John 21, it takes me back to another passage in the Bible where Peter is in the same place on the Sea of Galilee. In this other place at a previous time in Peter's life in the Sea of Galilee, there's also shepherd language, bread and fish, Galilee Sea miracle, manifest timing, drawing nets, and an audience. The audience is the same. So what you have in this previous time in Peter's life and in John 21, there are parallel and similarities in their encounter with God. So that when Peter is on the Sea of Galilee in John 21 and he experiences all those things, it takes him back to another time in life. Now, last week, we looked at the same principle, and we went back to Luke 5 when they were at the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus calls Peter to be a fisher of men, right? And does a fish miracle with the nets. Now, we're going somewhere different. John 6. There are 70 verses plus in John 6. I'm not going to read them all, but let me give you the outline. And Jared, I think I'll give you that, too, if you'll give me John 6. I broke it down real simple. 1 through 16, he feeds 5,000. Jesus feeds 5,000. John 6, 1 through 16. After he feeds 5,000, they get in a boat. The disciples do. Jesus don't. They go out at night, and they're in a storm, right? And here comes Jesus walking on water. Sea of Galilee. John 21, Sea of Galilee. And then when they get through with this, as soon as Jesus clears all that up and gets in the boat, they arrive at the shore, and this crowd where he fed 5,000, they've been chasing him ever since. They chased him there the first time. They've been chasing him ever since. They catch up with him in a synagogue right after this, and Jesus preaches, verses 22 through 71. Jesus preaches to them. And so, what I see in John 21 as a reader, it takes me back to John 6. And Peter, when he is living out John 21, there is no doubt it took him back to what happened in these events right here that are consecutive events that correlate together, right? Same crowd here, same crowd here. Broken up by this little break between the two. Are you with me? This is important for me to go further. Now, give me the next slide. This is going to be real quick. Real quick. In this encounter, in John 21 and in John 6, there are some things that Peter experiences. He experiences them in John 6, in the events that happened in John 6 on the Sea of Galilee. Passionate provision, power unto pursuit, power to pursue, preaching, pulling, and partaking. I'll explain all that in a minute. Peter experienced all those things supernaturally in the person, in the presence of Jesus Christ in John 6 that Jesus would reenact in John 21 on the same lake at a later time after Peter denied Jesus. Are you with me still? Okay. Now, let's press into this. Are you ready? Okay. One of us. Okay. So, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn over to John 6. You can leave your Bible at John 21, or you can flip back and forth, whatever you want to do. But I want to begin to piece together, put this portrait together, and let's see what it is that Jesus is doing. Okay. Remember I said shepherd language. Shepherd language. John 21, Peter, feed my sheep. John 21, feed my sheep. Now, so what happens when you go back to an earlier time in John 6, which will also be in Mark, and in Matthew has an account, what you'll find is that this crowd, Jesus did miracles. And when Jesus did miracles, the crowd followed him. And they follow him out into this wilderness place, right? And he does a miracle where he feeds 5,000. And what does he feed them? Fish and bread. A fish and bread miracle. What does he feed Peter in John 21? Fish and bread. You may say, well, that's just what you ate back then. But if you want to stay right there, you just stay right there. I would submit it as so much more. Because what leads up to that, when the crowd follows him, it is Passover in Jerusalem. But yet they are leaving Jerusalem to follow the man that does the miracle. And when you get there, let me read you a few verses. Give me Ezekiel 35:4. Just hang with me. Y'all know how I am. It starts slow, but it'll start coming together. Give me Ezekiel 34:5. I mean, the first Ezekiel reference I gave you. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field. And they were scattered. Give me 1 Kings. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Give me Numbers 27. Which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep that don't have a shepherd. So it is Passover. They're about to sacrifice a lamb, yet there is a lot of lambs, sheep that leave Jews. They leave Jesus, or they leave and they follow Jesus into a wilderness. And this is what Jesus says before he feeds 5,000, the miracle and the fish and bread. Mark 6:33-34. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto them. Verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a... Thank you. And he began to teach them many sayings. And then he says, have we got any food? No, we don't. We ain't got enough money for it either. 200 penny worth can't do it. He says, okay, this boy's got some fish. And he said, and we know he takes the fish and the bread. And he feeds 5,000. And here are the disciples, Jewish men, right? They may not can recognize God if he stepped in front of them, but they knew the prophecies, and they knew the Old Testament, and they knew the scripture, and they knew the Messiah would be one that would come, and he would go out to the sheep that is scattered. He would be a shepherd unto them. He would bring them out, and he would bring them in, and he would protect them and provide for them. The Messiah would be a shepherd to the sheep of Israel. And so now they're following Jesus. Thousands and thousands are coming, and they've been with him, and now they're starting to get hungry. And Jesus looks over at his disciples, Peter being one. He says, look at them. Peter's like, what in the world are we going to do? How are we going to fix this problem? What are we going to do to fix this problem? We can't feed them all. This is going to get bad, Jesus. What are we going to do? Jesus, as he looks, he is moved. He says, no, Peter. They're a bunch of sheep that don't have a shepherd. So take me that little bread and that little fish. What is he saying? Because I am the shepherd. John 6, Peter's hearing this for the first time. Shepherd, he's the shepherd, he's the shepherd, he's the shepherd. In John 21, they sit down at a fire, come and dine. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Why does he say my sheep? Because they're his. Why are they his? Because he is the shepherd. So when you know, if you had been out and watched Jesus do a miracle and feed 5,000 with just a couple of fish and bread, you would never forget that the rest of your life. It happened on the outside of Galilee, and here Jesus is sitting on the outside of the Sea of Galilee, fixing them breakfast, feeding them fish and bread, talking shepherd language. Peter, feed my sheep. What is Peter thinking? I'll never forget. Do you remember when I heard him say it? He did the dumbest thing I've ever saw in my life. He is the shepherd, and he cares. And he cares. He didn't just provide them something to fill their belly. He provided them care. He showed them he's a shepherd that cares. What would Jesus be trying to relate to Peter after Peter said, I'll never leave you, and then denied that he even knew him? Peter, I know how to go get a sheep because I'm a shepherd and I care. Do you see how intimate the setting is? Jesus does it perfectly to remind Peter of a time where he began to understand Jesus is the one that cares. He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. Now. Did I give you any more verses, brother, before that? Right after that, I'm sorry. Right after Mark. What's the next one I give you after Mark? Let's read Zechariah. The prophet said this, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. That is a prophecy that is fulfilled when Jesus looks at Peter going out of there. He says this right here, the shepherd's going to be smitten and the sheep's going to scatter. I'll see you again in Galilee. Yeah. Peter, I ain't one of them sheep that scatter, Jesus. Yeah, you are. No. I ain't one of them sheep that scatter. Matter of fact, I'll die for you. I don't wander off. I'm not that type of sheep. I'm a loyal sheep. I'm a faithful sheep. And I'll die for my shepherd. No, you won't. You'll be scattered. The prophet said it. It will be so. Nevertheless, I am a good shepherd. All of this language, it's doing something in Peter. It's reminding him. It's taking him back. Argue with me. Because look, the breath of God, that wasn't where all the breakthrough was. And a miracle, just a miracle. Peter's seen a lot of miracles, but that wasn't where the breakthrough was. I submit to you, it is in the most loving and intimate moment where Jesus really begins to persuade Peter about a love he has for him that he cannot even begin to imagine or fathom, even on his worst day. That plus the breath, that plus the sign miracle, all that together. But the intimacy is what brought him breakthrough to walk in consistency, to quit giving empty declarations and be slow to recognize, I will say this. As I got saved and began to grow in the Lord, do you know what really brought forth the most consistency in my life? It wasn't just when the Spirit moved. Now that was big. It had to happen. It wasn't just me seeing things that I knew that was God and could be no other. But it was when I began to get up in the morning and talk to God like he's more than just my God, but he's the lover of my soul, and I begin to get alone with him. At times I wanted to go over here and do no good with my buddies, but I chose instead just to sit and spend time with the Lord. And in those moments of my weakness, I would begin to see he's a God and he loves me. It is when I fell in love with the one that was in love with me, that's what brought breakthrough. Are you with me? So, shepherd language, fish and bread. I'm the shepherd that knows how to go find my sheep. I'm the shepherd that provides for you. And I don't just provide your need, I provide compassion and care.
Are you with me? Can we go on? Let's go a little further. Let's go get a little deeper as we go, okay? That's the shallow part. Wow. Okay. From that. Jesus says, oh, look, go get in the boat and go over. The crowd, they're gonna take me by force and make me a king. Ain't that what it says, Derek? Out into the sea of Galilee. verse 13 through 21, Jesus feeds 5,000. Matthew 14, 22 through 31, Jesus walks on water. And Matthew adds something that John don't, and I want to go with Matthew here. But Matthew and John both have three consecutive events, right? There's teaching and preaching about what has happened. There's feeding the 5,000, but Jesus walking on water. But Matthew adds something that John don't, and that is Peter walking on water too. So I want to go with Matthew to bring out a point here, because it is Peter that walked on water, and it is Peter that denied in John 21. Okay, are you with me? Before I do this, but before I just tell you that Jesus walks on water, somebody say he walks on water. But before we just pursue that anymore, look at Job 9. Now, the context here is God. God. Somebody say God. God. This is Job, right? God ends up saying, where was you when I spread the heavens? Where was you when I spread the heavens? Right there. Because I want to say, God says, himself, which alone spreadeth out the heavens. Only God can spread the heavens. But what else does he do? Oh, he walks on waves of the sea. I don't know when he did that in the Old Testament. I don't know if he did. I knew that he was going to. The heavens, by the way, but I also walk on water. I ain't told you that, but I'll show you that too later. Right? Look at Isaiah 9:1. Before I tell you that he walks on water, before I tell you that he walks on water,
look, Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me? Wait on me in Galilee. You'll see me there. I'll meet you in Galilee. So in John 21, there on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus says, in this way he manifested himself. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the Sea of Galilee beyond Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. Now there's this language. You got verse 2? I didn't give you verse 2. I failed to give you verse 2. Now, we know that Isaiah 9 is messianic. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So there's this prophecy, and we know this as believers. Every time it comes Christmas, Isaiah 9, this prophecy about the Messiah would come, right? Isaiah 9. And it starts off with saying their history, and that how he would show up, and he would glorify himself in the Sea of Galilee. By the Sea of Galilee, he would glorify himself and bring them out of grievances and bring them out of darkness and show them the light. He's already saying what he's going to do. So here we are, they're on the Sea of Galilee. And he walks on water. Now listen to me deeply here. In Matthew 14, when he walks on water, they get terrified and they say it's a ghost. Right? The Greek word is phantasm. Two words put together, the suffix brings negative connotation. The prefix is good. The suffix is not good. Phantasm. The root word is phaino, which means to appear and manifest. The tasm part speaks of the ghost, which means they did not interpret what he was showing. Because phaino, the root word, if you study the etymological origin, the word phantasm, it come from a root word at first, phaino. So when they tried to describe a word to fit that they saw something that they've never seen and they thought it was a ghost, here's the word phantasm. Look how many times it's in the Bible. It ain't there much. It's just right here. Another time or two, but it's referring to ghost. Phaino, it means to come to light, to see what you've never seen. And the tasm means they interpret it as something bad. But if you were reading the Dead Sea Scrolls and you knew your language well, like we know our English kind of good or whatever, We know how words go together and sound together and this and that. So in John 21, three times you find the word phanerouo. Phanerouo. Three times in John 21. Phanerouo also was birthed from the root word phano, which means to come to light, to be seen. And that is John 21. On the Sea of Tiberias, he revealed himself. On the Sea of Galilee, he revealed himself. And in this wise, he revealed himself. And this was the third time he revealed himself. So if you look past the translation from its original language, you begin to see words. Phanerouo, the root word phano. Clue number two that I find that takes us back to him walking on water. In John 21:4, it says, I'll go back. Hang with me here. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and we understand that they go out at night and they fish till dawn. Some translations will say dawn. The Greek word, I got hidden odds there, says dawn, right before dawn. At dawn, Jesus shows up, right? At dawn. Do you remember me saying manifest timing? Manifest timing. Don't you know that when Peter's out there fishing, I could see something like this, Jacob. Hey, Peter, you remember that time we was about right here and we thought Jesus was a ghost, but it was him. Do you remember that moment? Did that really happen? I just wonder, did you really walk on water? Sometimes it seems like I mean, I know you did, but it just nearly seems unbelievable. Wasn't we about right in here? Yeah, we was probably about right in here. Oh, and it was about this exact same time, too. Because it says that he did it in the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., right before dawn, which is the same time they encounter Jesus in John 21, before dawn, the third watch of the night, right when it is dark and about to turn dawn, he manifests again. The word manifest used twice at the same time and on the same lake, just at a different time in his life. Am I making this up, or is this just here and we ain't been seeing it? I have to really, I ain't being sarcastic. I was like, I hope I'm not stretching, but it's here. I'm seeing it. And you know that he's thinking, yeah, it was about this time. The sun was about to come up, and that was when it happened. That's when we saw him, and that's when I walked on water, and that's when I sank, and that's when he reached down, and he pulled me out of the water. Yeah, it was about this time. Fish and bread, shepherd language, miracles on the Sea of Galilee. At the same time, Jesus is just trying to show them who he is. Are you with me? Oh, Lord. Clue three. I use clues because I don't know a better word to use, all right? Just bear with me. I said the other day, too much investigative discovery and stuff like that. Oh, Lord. Oh, goodness, this is powerful. Two things here. Peter says in Matthew 14, which is also John 6, it's just Matthew gives us more details. He says, when John says it's the Lord, it ain't a ghost, it's the Lord. Peter says, if it's you, let me come to you. Let me come to you. Jesus just standing there on a wave, you know. Peter steps out and he goes. He would have never wanted to go if he thought it was a ghost. But once he knew it wasn't a ghost, and he knew it was Jesus, and he saw Jesus' power over the sea, he says, now can I come? Now can I come? Remember, he's slow to recognize, but he's irrational. He's crazy. He'll be the last one to know he's in the room, but once he does, he'll go crazy. He'll go crazy. No, nobody else got out the boat. Nobody else got out the boat and went after him. Nobody did. And can I remind you in John 21? Hey, I'm just saying, hey, Peter, no. That's the Lord right there. That's the Lord. And Peter's the last to recognize. But as soon as he does, what does he do? He's the only one. He jumps out of the boat. I wrote in that outline what was Peter experienced is that once Jesus manifests to you in all his power and his glory, it'll make you want to pursue. In his power, it's like a magnet that draws pursuit in me. So what the best thing that could ever happen is the devil could close our eyes or keep us from seeing what Jesus is manifesting, because if he ever makes himself real known, if we can ever really see how much he loves us and who he really is, just in that power of seeing who he is, it does something in us that makes us want to go to where he is. Do you see the parallel from that account to John 21? Now let's go deeper. Okay? Peter did something that he did not have the ability to do. Only in his pursuit there was a found power that caused him to do what he did not have the ability to do. And I'm about to tell you that again, that when we begin to see what Jesus is manifesting, the power in that, when it invokes us to go after him, we'll find ourselves able to make it through things we never thought we could make it through. We'll find ourselves able to do what we could not do, because in the manifestation of his power brings forth a pursuit. So I put power unto pursuit. The power makes me pursue, but when I begin to do the act of faith and pursue, I am empowered. If God wants you to come after him, you better bet he's going to give you the power to do it, even if you ain't got it. You ain't smart enough. You ain't wise enough. You ain't got enough physical health. You ain't got enough. You got so much drama and pain in your life. Look, if he shows himself to you and asking that you would reciprocate, that you would pursue after him, I promise you, you'll never not have enough power and strength to go after him. He may not let you have enough power to get up and do this or that, but he'll always give you the power to pursue him. Now, Peter does what he had never done. He does what he could not do. There's power in his pursuit. The power made him pursue. Once he pursued, he began to experience an empowerment. Now let's go to John 21. Some of you's noticed this. Some of you's read this all your life, and you never noticed this. So good. Okay, let me read this to you. Verse 6, John 21:6. And just hang with me here. John 21:6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able. Somebody say not able. Ishthuo means they did not have the strength. They were unable. What were they unable to do? To draw the net. They were all of them together did not have enough strength to draw the net. And it's interesting that the word draw is helkuo, and it means to pull to you from within. Don't forget that. We'll come right back. All of them together did not have enough strength in them to pull in the net. And I don't know much about science, but I know out in the water, I can pick up things that I can't pick up on land. I don't know the term, but it's something. Right? That's why you get in a swimming pool as a little kid and I remember trying to pick up like my daddy or my older cousin, because ain't no way I could do it on land. But in the water, I can budge them, right? All of them. There's so many fish. There's so many fish in that net. They could not move it. All of them couldn't. Peter wouldn't help it. He'd done jumping out of the boat. They could not do it. Peter's getting ready to go. Now. Jesus said unto him, bring the fish. Simon Peter went up. They were not able to draw the net, but Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fish, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. It was so many that the net should have broke. So many, all the other disciples together could not move the net. But somehow, Peter gets the net and takes it to Jesus. Why did Peter get the net and pick it up when the other disciples couldn't? Because Jesus said, go get the net and bring it to me. And so Jesus walks on water. Peter walks on water. He does what he could not do as he's pursuing Jesus. And now Jesus says, come to me and bring the net. In his pursuit of Jesus in John 21, he now does again what he could not do. And he's reminding Peter, Peter, do you remember how I was a shepherd? You remember the day you realized that I'm a shepherd that loves my sheep and provides for them? Do you remember how that when you saw me manifest in my power, it made you want to come to me? And when you come to me, I empowered you to come. And now Peter has denied Jesus three times. And Jesus is still trying to reestablish and to restore what Peter feels he has lost, is that I'm a shepherd that loves you. And I know you just denied me three times. I know you did. I know you went in there when I died like you said you would be. I know you went in there going to die. You said you was going to die with me on that day, and you didn't die with me. And you said you would, and you did. And not only was you not there, you said you didn't know me. But I still want you to come on. I know you feel like you ain't able to come after me no more. I know you feel like you've messed up so bad you can't come after me no more. I know you feel like you're so inconsistent, have so many empty professions, so slow to recognize. And I know you feel like you're at the lowest point of your life and you've messed it all up. And I'm telling you, remember back to what you learned on this day. Remember that day, and you remember it today, and you come on. I know you're so defeated. Look, I'll give you the power to pursue me. Are y'all with me? Okay. I'm nearly done. So Peter walks on water, and there he goes. His heart was in pursuit of the Lord. And somewhere between getting off the ship and getting to him, his heart came off the pursuit of the Lord. And he saw the depth of the sea and the waves and the darkness. Don't labor for food that perishes, but go after food that is everlasting. I'll explain it. I fed you bread that day. That's what you want. You're coming back because I fed you bread. He said, well, how about this? When Moses was in the wilderness and bread come down from heaven, God fed them bread too. He said, something greater than that is I am that bread. I'm the one that come down from heaven. I'm the bread of life that come down from heaven. He said, you're going after, you want to pursue and labor for food that perishes. He says, go after me. I'm food that does not perish. I'm food that gives everlasting life. I'm the bread of life. I'm heavenly manna. Right?
They're like, I don't know.
He says, what I'm saying is, he says, you got to partake of me. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, and now it's getting really bad. He said, what I'm saying is believe in me. Right? This is what happens in the rest of John 6. And I'm nearly done today. Hang, don't lose me here, please. So look, John 6:15, I'm going to read it to you. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone, sent them in the ship. The crowd that he fed was going to take him by force and make him a king. And of the same crowd, we get right back over here in verse 66. Oh, goodness. Hang with me. We're just nearly done. And after he says, you got to partake of me, eat me, partake of me through faith, it says, from that time, many of those followers left him. The same ones that was going to take him by force and make him a king that he fed, now they're all walking away. He said, Jesus even says, is this too hard of a saying? And then there's this one dude in the crowd. One dude in the crowd, right? He ain't going. He ain't going. He says, if they all start walking away, he says, Simon Peter, this is what he said. After Jesus looks, after the, he says, looks to the disciples, he says, are y'all going to go with them and leave too? Not I'm said a word, but Peter, he said, Lord, not where would we go, but to who should we go to? Who else? I know they're going. I don't know where they're going. But if you want to know if I'm going with them, to whom would I go through? When he says to me, you said, bring the net that all 11 of them couldn't pick up. I could, because your words are different than any man's words when you speak them to me. And if I receive them by faith, they empower me. And where else can I get that? Yet, somewhere along the way, Peter chose to go warm his hands by a fire rather than accompany Jesus to a cross. And there he denied him. And maybe Jesus is setting this date to remind him of a time when Peter realized, I got nowhere else to go but to you. Because clearly something had changed. But Jesus' love for Peter is bringing him back to the place where he says again, there's nowhere else I can go but to you. Jesus is good. Now, this is the last thing, okay? The last thing. If y'all get a song ready. Oh, Lordy mercy. Okay. Okay. Peter, bring him fish. Why did he say bring me him fish? Why did he say bring me him fish? He didn't need them because Jesus already got some cooked, remember? He didn't say, bring me in fish, so we can cook up a mess of fish or whatever they say, you know? He said, bring him fish. But Jesus done cooked fish. Jesus didn't need them fish. He just needed Peter to know that when he tells him to do it, he can do it when all the 11 of them came. Bring me them fish. Draw that net, Peter. They tried to draw it. They couldn't draw it. I want you to draw the net, Peter. Draw the net, Peter. Draw the net, Peter. They couldn't do it. Draw the net and come here. Peter, draw in the net. It should have, this fish is so heavy, it should have broke the net. Draw the net, Peter. Draw the net, Peter. I just wonder if Peter would, like, man, I'm pretty strong. I don't know if he thought that, but you know he knew. They couldn't do it, and I'm doing it. They couldn't do it, and I'm doing it. Jesus said, bring the fish. Come on, Peter, come here. I got some cooked, but I want you to bring them. He's moving the net, and they couldn't move the net, but he's a fisherman. He knows what you can. He's pulling the net. Now they couldn't lift in the water. Now he's on shore bringing them. Drawing the net, drawing the net. Man, with what great power Peter was drawing the net. With what great strength given by God. No, let me say it like this, David. That is some drawing power. You know I'm setting you up, don't you? That is some drawing power. That drawing power pulls impossible weights. Okay. Helkuo, draw. They were not able. The 11 were not able to helkuo. Peter, helkuo, draw the net. Draw the net. God, I'm a lot stronger than they are. That's drawing power, drawing power. Now let's go back to John 6. Let's go back to John 6. Because Peter's denied that he knows him. He did what Peter would consider himself the impartinable. But I don't want you to think about this, Peter. I want you to think about that time I fed 5,000 and showed you I'm a shepherd that loves his sheep. And I want you to remember the bread and the fish. And I want you to remember how we walked on water and you come after me and you pursued me and I give you the strength to pursue me. I want you to remember that. And remember how I fed them all. And then when I told them that they had to partake of me, I was preaching. Remember, Peter, I was preaching, Peter. I was preaching hard. And now we're seeing Jesus not just preaching about the kingdom. John 6, he's not just preaching about, now he's preaching about himself. I'm the bread of life. Oh, I'd love to hear Jesus preach about himself. My God, Jacob, I would love to. So this is what he says. They leave, and he said, we know, he says, how are you going to go too? No, I got nowhere better to go. Who else has words of life? And right before that, Jesus had made this statement. He says, Peter, disciples, he says, don't you know that no man can come to me unless the Father Helkuo draws him? A fishing term. Peter gets that. He understands that. He knows how hard it is to draw a net. He knows, but he knows that no matter how hard it is to draw the net, there is not a fish in a net that the Father cannot draw. Peter, do you feel that drawing power? Do you feel that drawing power? I know this is your lowest moment. And I know you failed me. And I know you're sinking. And I know you feel like there's nothing in you to get up and come to me. But it's okay. The Father has drawing power. He'll draw you out of your denial, Peter. He'll draw you. He'll draw you out of all your mess, everything that was shattered and broken and lost when you stood by the fire that day. He'll draw you. I know you feel like you're in a pit you can't come out of. I know you feel like you're in a brokenness that you can't arise out of. I know you feel like you have gone too far. But the Father, y'all just want you to feel the drawing power, Peter. But Peter, if you can feel the drawing power, then maybe you can remember that it's the Father that drew you in the first place, and it's the Father that's going to draw you right out of all this right here. You will get off this lake. You will quit fishing. You will get out of your denial, and you will follow me, and you will feed my sheep. You will stand and preach, and 3,000 will be saved. I will draw you right back. There's drawing power. There's drawing power. And what else does he say about that drawing power? He says, when the Father draws them to me, he said, they're mine and I don't lose them. I don't lose them. Peter, do you think by the fire that day, you might have lost me by the fire, but I didn't lose you by the fire. You might have lost me when you denied me, but I didn't lose you. John 6, there's clue after clue after clue after clue after clue after clue that points John 6 to John 21 and John 21 to John 6, just like there was Luke 5 last week, just like there'll be more next week. God is doing something special here. He's doing something special in us. It is really funny to me that God takes such a simple mind like mine, and he takes me to labor through things that may not have sounded that difficult to you at all, but to me it was just way out of my world. And for months, he's making me labor through this and walk through this because he's showing me this simple truth that he loves me. He loves me. And I made a mess of it, but it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. He loves me. He loves me. He loves you. He loves you. And what this church needs, now when I say this church, I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about American church in general, that seems to be plagued with inconsistent walk with God, empty professions. A church that's slow to recognize his presence, but quick to be irrational. Peter. That's why I say I'm learning that I'm further than what I thought, but he's closer than what I thought. I realize there's a lot of times I'm just missing him. He's right here. He's right here, and I missed him. And there's times when I get in my car in the morning, and I miss him. There's times when we come in church, and we do church. And we can do church and miss him. Right? And if we're going to have breakthrough, it ain't just going to be if I lay a hand on you in the spirit. And it ain't just going to be if you can come out of here and God show you a little miracle, and he does. Raise your hand if he's ever just showed you a little thing that only could be God. Yeah, but you know what? That didn't break mine in your inconsistency either, did it? Do you know what will? When we really are transformed by how all the days of my life he's loved me. And I begin to reciprocate that love. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? I'll say it again. Peter, Jesus did not ask Peter that until the end of this. Thank you.
your life. We need something that goes with us the rest of our lives. I've been praying God would speak, not right now. Not that you remember a storm, God forbid, that you just remember a storm, but that you remember His voice the rest of your life. The way He said, I would say, what He said to the holidays. And there's so many other women to dress my life. There's their parents with God, and I share with you from time to time moments. Okay, before when he put me a Honda 125 four-wheeler, and I went over by my grounds, and I wouldn't do much, and I realized, oh, he could do it for the first time. For the first time. Where God did it, and when I really fell off, he told me, I tried to live into my sister, and let him go around to me, and live in the room, and I was able to get the first time. And he told me, please, that's the only way I went to the bridge, but all these times, I had to do something, and I was able to die, and I never forget. And I was to remember teaching our son, and God, don't do that. Remember what God is doing in you, and what He's saying. Let that, bow your heads, close your eyes, do whatever the Holy Ghost tells you to do. Tell you what it is. Just do it this morning. Just do it this morning. Whatever He's telling you to do, whatever He's leading you to do. And don't keep doing it when you leave them a little bit. Keep on doing it.
Just stay, and they don't really go.
best days will be moments of God. When you felt things in the world was so much more important, urgent, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't more urgent. It wasn't. It's just it. Girl, could you imagine?